Association. The boys and girls are all here, alhamdulillah. And in addition to that, we've got some folks that are online that have been waiting to hear this, and that's why we were taking some time to get it set up. And so we're about ready to kick off. One of the things I will remind you is that you can visit us on the internet for rebroadcasts of this and other exciting programs by going to Islam Tomorrow, ISLAMTOMOROW.com. Our website's open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. Having said that, we're ready to go. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, who Allah Jalana Muslimin. The praise is to Allah, and He is the one who made us into Muslims. This is not something that we did on our own, but rather it's a nama or a gift or a favor of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us this nama, but in the Quran He mentions other nama or na'im. In fact, by the way, did you know there's one of the places in paradise called na'im, genital na'im? Did you know that? I want to go there and check it out. And one of the ways to get there, I think, is by being generous. So this is something that we'll be focusing on the next few minutes, is this generosity. How do you say generous, by the way, in Arabic? Do you know how? Kareem. Is it? Kareem. Generous. And how do you say the opposite of Kareem? Anybody know? Bakhil. Stingy. So we want to focus on the first and not the last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what we call Asma wa Sifat. This means His names or His attributes. And one of them is Kareem. All Kareem. The generous. He's all Kareem. We can be generous, but we can never be all Kareem. That's why if somebody wants this attribute for their child, they call them Abdul Kareem instead of all Kareem. There's a surah in the Quran called Surah Al-Fajr. And by the way, before I forget, tomorrow morning, we're at Masjid Omar ibn Khattab, right? For Fajr. And for the benefit of those who didn't know that, their masjid is actually open for five times a day, and in Fajr is one of those times they're open. Just in case you didn't know that, you're invited to join us tomorrow morning for that beautiful opportunity to be together. We have a series that we're doing on the harsh questions that come to us in Islam. You don't want to miss that, because this will help you answer the question why you have to have four wives and why you have to beat them and things like this. So we're having a lot of that there, and we hope you'll show up for that. But in the Quran, Allah tells us in Surah Al-Fajr, and this is very beautiful the way He explains it, because He says when He tests somebody with ibtila, when He tests somebody by giving them wealth and the good things in this life, then the person says, my Lord has honored me. The very next verse after that, it says, but when we test him by straightening his means, or, you know, making things a little tougher for him, and it uses the word rizq in the Arabic, and this is something where his daily bread, as the Christians will say, his, you know, the things, his provisions are suddenly a little difficult, then he says, my Lord, He hates me. So, following that, Allah says, no, that's not right at all. You're absolutely wrong, because in fact, it's the way you don't take care of the yatim, which is the orphan, and you don't take care of the miskin, which is the poor. In other words, you're bakhil when it comes to, you know, this straightening it to show you how you are. I like that, because I spent nearly 50 years, by the way, as a Christian. And when we were in there, we were always trying to think of ways to get people to give money. Because our church, like any organization, makes it a lot of what they do with money. So we would try to think of ways to get people to be generous. One of the things, and I don't know who put it in the Bible, I have no clue. But it says in the Bible you have to give 10% of everything you make. That's your income tax. 10% has to go to the church. You know that? Amazing! Especially when you live in a country that's already taken 30 to 40%. Then you got to put another 10%. You know what? I remember real well Christians that would ask the question, because they like looking for fatwa, you know? Same thing. And they would say, now wait a minute. Is that 10% of the whole thing or 10% after the government takes theirs? Yeah. And of course, course, I remember exactly what they used to say. They said, no, this is before. We want the 10% off the top. Yeah. Well, of course. You stop and think about it. If you take away 40%, it only leaves 60, so you'd only be getting really 6% of the gross instead of 10. Sneaky, huh? The one that got me the most, though, was in the Old Testament when it tells about that there were 12 tribes. Everybody knows about the Asbat, right? The 12 tribes, right? And one of the tribes, they said, you know what? We have to have one tribe which is strictly religious. Everybody else can go and be in the dunya, make the money, everything like that, but we need one pure, righteous group. They're not going to touch any money. They're not going to touch any money whatsoever. They're not going to deal in business. They're not going to deal in agriculture. They're not going to deal in mercantile. They're not going to deal in any kind of buy, sell, trade, nothing. So this way they'll be pure, their hearts are pure, their minds are clean for Almighty Allah, right? This is their idea. And they said, but how will we get by? Let's see. Well, how about this? The other 11 tribes, will each one give us 10% of what they make, so that'll make up for what we don't get. Not bad. I like their math, too, because if you add it up, it's 110%. And even if this tribe has a bad day or a bad year, you're still okay because you got the other 10 tribes. 50% can be in a bad shape. You're still good to go. And by the way, it's not that you didn't get your hands dirty with any money. You didn't get them dirty with any work. It's an amazing concept they have. Very amazing. And I'm sure it's very righteous along the way. But, you know, in Islam, we don't have that. In Islam, there is no 10%, by the way. There's no income tax at all in Islam. The only tax we have in Islam is a holding tax. Why? Because you hold it for a year. And after 1 year, then if you didn't turn it over, you didn't invest it, you didn't do anything with it, you didn't use it to contribute to society in any way, then you pay the tax. How much is it? Is it 40, like the income tax here in this country? Or 30? Or 20? Or is it even 10%? No. Is it 5%? No. 4? 3? 2.5. 2.5%, for crying out loud. So you said, well, I pay my zakat, that's all I need to do. But stop and think, you drive by these churches. Have you ever noticed the churches in this city here in Columbus, Ohio? They have some. Did you notice that? Yeah. Like, how did I not notice it? I didn't even think they got there. There's no tree that makes churches, by the way. You know how it comes? Huh? Because they work and they put their money and their effort together. Of course, they borrow money, too, by the way. But I'm telling you that if we don't do a little something extra, then we're not going to benefit our community. We're not going to benefit ourselves either. Now, when we talk about generosity, I want you to know that for all the years that I was a Christian, and I thought I knew generous people, when I came into Islam, I found real generosity. And I don't say this to impress anybody, to show off or for anything, a'udhu billah, but just to remind myself how beautiful Muslims really are. Because as soon as I entered Islam, people began to give me books, free things. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but some religions, even when they give you the free brochure, they want you to give some kind of donation. Have you seen that? Yeah, I remember when you remember those guys used to shave their head and wear the orange sheet wrapped around them? Huh? And they walk around in the airport and collect money. What did they sing that? Krishna, Hare Krishna, what was that? Some Hindu or something, right? Hare Krishna. That's the name of it, yeah. By the way, you like my singing? It's pretty good, huh? Anyhow, what I'm saying is that these people would come out in those airports. I remember it. They'd walk up and give you these little things and tell you, like, you know, put their hand out, like, come on, put some money in there. And you're going, wait a minute, I don't even know what you are. And then you don't have to, just give us money, you know. So I'm thinking, how about Muslims? When we go out and we tell people about Islam, we don't charge anybody. I was very impressed when I came to Islam. People gave me Qurans. I got 2 Qurans given to me the very first week. I had a number of very nice little books handed to me. Nobody asked me for any money. And I felt guilty, like I should pay something. They were nice books. One of my favorites, by the way, when I just came to Islam, is by Abu Amin Bilal Phillips. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Surah Al-Hijrat. And it gives the tafsir of this beautiful, beautiful surah. And in this book, it talks about manners and the way that people are supposed to treat each other. That, by the way, I'm going to give another free ad for tomorrow night. That's our subject tomorrow night, is the treatment of the Muslims. So, in summary, I'm just saying that when I came into Islam, I saw a lot of nice things. But I never dreamed how Muslims really can be until I started having difficulties. Because I had always been pretty well off, and I didn't really need to ever ask anybody. And in fact, I know better because, you know, in Christianity, if you ask for anything, people look at you like, are you sick? Why are you crazy? I don't give you any money. I had a lot of that, you know. Now, to get people to come to Christianity, they might do something. But after you're in it, forget it, you know. Even your kids, 18 years old, get out. That's right. And your parents, when they get old, we don't need you. Go to the old folks' home, just rot. We'll see you on Mother's Day, Father's Day, something like that. SubhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, for the Muslims, I saw generosity for their children, for the parents, and even for the strangers, and especially for new Muslims. I know for a lot of you, you think the Muslims are not doing the way they should do. I know that. Because I hear from you all the time in the emails and personal conversations. But I'm telling you this is the wrong approach to look at it from a negative way and say that, oh, Muslims are not doing their job, they're corrupt, they're bakhil, they're, you know, it's not right. There are some Muslims who are not doing the way they should yet. But don't label all others like that. Because there's still so much good. And even the worst Muslim is better than the best of anything else. You know why? Because of the very precious statement, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is very, very important for all of us. It's important, La ilaha illallah. And this person, he has that, Allah knows best. Allah knows best what's in their heart. Before I go off, I do want to mention an example of what happened one time. And I had a very hard, difficult situation that hit me. And I didn't know how to solve the problem. I didn't know where to turn. I stopped in a masjid. I'd never been there before. I stopped in a masjid. I prayed Isha. I had my two little small daughters, and we were traveling together, just the three of us. And I didn't know how to solve my problem. It was a major problem to me. It was like everything in the world. And I had a piece of junk truck that I really was barely getting by, except by the mercy of Allah, to even make it run. So after the Isha, the brothers met me, how you doing, everything, and the standard response, everybody always says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, right? But I was saying that, well, you know, I have some problems, but, you know, it'll get solved. And they said, no, we want to know, and I'm going, yeah, right, you know, because if I tell you, I'll be boring you. They insisted. And when I was walking out of the masjid, it was very dark walking to the car, and the brothers were, you know, hugging me, shaking my hand. They were happy to see an American who became a Muslim. And one of them, he said, you know, the brothers and I, we collected something for you. It's in this envelope. And I went, huh. I put it in my pocket. And later, I remembered it, and I opened it up, and I thought, oh, man, these will be like $10. I can get some gas or something like that. Altogether, there was over $700 there from people who didn't even know me. And there was a check in there for $200. And I looked at it and I said, this cannot be real. This cannot be real. So I took the check back the next day and I said, I think you meant to make it for $20. I'm sure you didn't mean $200 from one person. And they said, no, it said, I wish you could do more. I never saw anything like that. And so what I'm saying is that generosity like this is something that will touch the heart and you never know. Now I'm going to give you something, as we should always mention something from the Sunnah. And there was one saying that is that a person gave charity. He gave charity, some money. And then it was said, oh, look, somebody gave charity to a thief, one who steals. But it didn't daunt him a bit. You know what he did? The next day he gave more charity. And then it was said, oh, guess what? Somebody gave charity to a prostitute. Still didn't stop him. The next day, he gave charity to somebody else. And then he came to find out, oh, somebody gave charity to a rich man. You know, if that happened to you, what would you do? Oh, man, I threw my money away. I gave money to somebody as a thief, somebody as a prostitute, for crying out loud, and one is rich. But look at this, the result. The result. I always love the like moral to the story here. Guess what? The thief, when he received this, he realized, oh my God, Allah is our Razak. Allah is the one who takes care of me. I shouldn't steal. And he stopped stealing forever right there. The prostitute, when she received the money, she said, oh my God, Allah is our Razak. He's the one taking care of me. I don't need this. I don't need to do this thing. And she quit completely. And the rich man, probably like a lot of us, he had more than he needed, yeah? But he realized, oh my God, why am I hoarding? Why am I holding this like this when it's only Allah who's going to give me what I need? So he became very generous after that. So you see, your charity, your donations, and your good works are not wasted ever. Never, ever wasted. Because Allah, He knows even the smallest amount. So even the smallest atom's weight of good, we'll see it on the Day of Judgment. And even the smallest atom's weight of evil, we'll see it then. The beautiful thing about Islam is, when you do a good deed, Allah, He counts it 10 times. But when you do a bad deed, it only counts once. And we've always been told that when you do a bad deed, follow it up with a good one. So this is all good for us. And think about it. When we do some good, it's never lost. It will help. And if you are experiencing some problems now, financial problems, giving for the sake of Allah is the best way to solve those problems. Because who put you in that situation to start with? Allah. So Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, who Allah Jalla the Muslimin, the praises to the one who made us as Muslims, the praises to Al-Kareem, who is generous with us, the praises to Al-Razak, the one who gives us our food and our air to breathe, and Alhamdulillah, our praises to the one who is the Ghafur Rahim, the forgiver, the merciful. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts and open our pocketbooks tonight so that we can do what we need to do to satisfy the needs of this beautiful organization for the Muslim Student Association. This is something that we have an obligation to do. Don't think tonight about what's going on anywhere else in the world. Allah is not going to ask you about that. Think about where you are and what you're doing here. Allah brought you here. This is where you are. This is your community. This is your task. This is what you need to focus on. So let that be our message for each other. Be here and take care of what's in front of us. I think that's the best thing. We can end with that. You've been listening to Islam. Tomorrow we're broadcasting live all the way from Columbus, Ohio. We'll be back with you in the morning at Fajr. So be sure to be online and on time. And this is your host, Yusuf Estes, reminding you, Allah, He is Al-Hadi, He is the guide. And we ask His guidance. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayra al-maghdubi alayhim wa ladh-dhallin. Alhamdulillah. Until next time, salam alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, give me a second here.